Lesson 3. Telling Tales. The invention of writing more than 5,000 years ago was a pivotal event in human history. Indeed, without it, there could be no recorded history. But even before writing began, stories existed, often in the form of folktales. This much older spoken tradition probably goes back to the very beginnings of language itself. Folktales did not need to be written in order to be preserved, because they were passed on by word of mouth from one generation to the next. Most were anonymous and the work of many different people. As the tale was told and retold, it changed, each teller modifying it to fit a particular audience. One famous collection of folktales, first recorded around the 14th century, is the Arabian Nights, also called 1001 Nights. The title comes from the efforts of the storyteller, Scheherazade, to keep her husband, the king of what is now India and Indochina, from killing her. She stopped each night's story at a suspenseful point so that her husband would allow her to live one more night to tell its ending. Scholars think that many of these tales may have originated in Syria and Egypt, while others could have come from India, but their actual origin remains a matter of conjecture. Not until the early 19th century was a serious attempt made to give European folktales a permanent written form. In Germany, two brothers, Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm, collected hundreds of folktales from all parts of the country and published them in an anthology, now well known as Grimm's Fairy Tales. In its pages, Rapunzel, Hansel and Gretel, Cinderella, and Little Red Riding Hood make their first appearance in print. While one purpose of folktales may have been to entertain, that was not their only function. The reason they have survived for so long and are so prevalent in all human societies is that they educate their audiences. They seek to instill values that the society may consider imperative for its survival, such as a sense of right and wrong, or the need for self-reliance. In addition to providing models for appropriate behavior, they give explanations, often derived from folklore, of the origin and meaning of the natural world. Scholars have been struck by how frequently the same situations recur in folktales from many different places. Over 300 versions of the Cinderella story, for example, have been identified. Perhaps the same stories appeared spontaneously in many distant societies, or perhaps they were spread by travelers and adapted to fit the needs of their listeners. In addition to the same stories, the same themes are also found again and again. One of the commonest is the use of guile as a weapon of the helpless against the powerful. There are no better examples of this than the Uncle Remus stories of Joel Chandler Harris, based on African-American folktales of the American South. One of the funniest of the Uncle Remus stories tells of Brer Rabbit, who falls into the clutches of Brer Fox. He begs his captor not to throw him into the briar patch, saying he would rather be hanged, drowned, or even skinned alive. Brer Fox, being of a mean disposition, promptly does what his victim has begged him not to do. Brer Rabbit, of course, extricates himself with ease from the briar patch, mocking Brer Fox as he scampers away by calling out that he was bred and born in a briar patch. Folktales, coming from every part of the globe, encompass the whole of human experience. From their early beginnings, long before the dawn of history, until the fairly recent past, they had no competition from other forms of entertainment. Today, worldwide television and radio, movies, and the mass marketing of books compete for children's attention. Is there a danger that in the future folktales will survive only in scholarly collections? Probably not as long as children snuggled in their beds experience the magic that begins with the spoken words, "Once upon a time."